We're going to talk about life groups today because this is something, is one of the values that we have at Bethel, of the value, like I just said, of relationship. How can we practically make that happen? And, you know, if you've taken spiritual family class, like you've heard me talk about, when we go in that big auditorium on Sunday morning, it's just easy to go in and say hi to a couple people and leave, and nobody know your name, and nobody know what's going on in your life. And that is not how God wanted us to live out our Christian faith. It's easy to do, and it can be what maybe you've been accustomed to doing, but that's not what we believe the church is all about. So as we get started, let's just pray together as we talk about life groups today. Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters here today. I thank you, God, for what you're doing in their lives. Lord, I'm just sensing even now that you're doing good things in each person's life that's sitting in this room, God. Lord, any challenges they're facing, any obstacles they're facing, it's because you want to walk with them through it. You want to encourage them. You want to strengthen them. And Lord, I know by even coming today and being equipped, Lord, you're giving them tools week in, week out. And Lord, it might not be evident in the moment, but Lord, as they look back in their lives, Lord, I pray that they would see that this time of Sunday school is part of the journey that's helping them grow in their faith. And I thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you come to the Tuesday night class, a lot of this is going to be similar on the session that I taught, the three-week session I taught on Life Group. And actually, what you're getting today, so if you ever get asked on a little questionnaire, if you've ever taken the Start One class, you can with confidence check yes, because that's what you're getting right now. So this once-a-month class that we teach, the Start One class, this is the material that we cover. So you might, if you're interested in starting a life group, you might want to come and take that again if that comes up down the road, but because there are a few more practical things that you'll get at that class, but this is the teaching that we go over. So you have a couple of handouts in front of you. I actually took your sermon notes, but there's some right underneath that. So we're going to start with that the scriptures of do you have all that? A page of scriptures called One Another. And these are all the exhortations in the New Testament. And if you look at that, look, it's front and back. One another, one another. Be devoted to one another. Live in harmony with one another. Love one another. Accept one another. Instruct one another. Greet with one another. Agree with one another, serve one another, bear with one another, be kind and compassionate to one another, speak to one another out of reverence for Christ, bear with one another, teach and admonish one another, encourage one another, build each other up, encourage one another, spur one another on toward love and good deeds, encourage one another, love one another, live in harmony with one another, offer hospitality to one another, clothe yourself with humility toward one another. We have fellowship with one another. Love 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 one another. How? Wow. Okay. I think God's talking to us well. But really, how do we practically do that? How can we teach one another on a Sunday morning when we're really in listening mode? And that is very, very important. That's part of our spiritual food that we receive every week. But then as we daily spend time with the Lord and God reveals stuff to us, it's for us to turn around and give it away to somebody. You know, it was so nice. When I was a brand new Christian, I remember I lived in this boarding house with Christian girls, and I'd read the Bible, and I'd say, look what that says, like, right there, because I'd never, like, really read the Bible before, and I just thought, these nice people, you know, you think, they got excited for me just because I was excited, but, like, they'd listen to me and, let me be excited about a scripture. Maybe they'd read 20 times, but I was, like, the first, you know, anyway, so just anything that we receive for the Lord, it's for the purpose of giving away to somebody, and whether you feel like it's a huge thing or a little thing or Maybe something you've walked through, and then somebody, God brings someone in your life, and you say, you know, I haven't had that exact, but this something similar happened in my life, and let me share with you how God helped me through it. All those things, God wants to happen in all of our lives. And sometimes, you know, the enemy can lie, like, I don't know enough yet, I'm not ready. But everyone, if you're saved, you're ready at some level to help somebody, because that's how much God cares about people. And so all these scriptures to encourage one another, to have hospitality for one another, really, and then we're going to look at Jesus' model too, they can best be expressed in a smaller group setting. Not that we can't turn and be hospitable in church, but where can we really live these scriptures out? I believe that it's in a small group setting. And also that when we look at Jesus' life, how he lived, his model was small group ministry. He, you know, the exception was the one-on-one. You know, he did minister to the woman at the well, but he prayed all night. He prayed all night that God would show him the ones that the 12 that he was supposed to pour into. And then we know he had a bigger group. He had the 70. And, of course, he taught in multitudes, too. But he was intentional, again, about discipleship. But again, small group. And then they did life together. I mean, they seriously did life together. They, you know, walked to the different places together. And then you think about, it talks about in Luke chapter 8, that there was the men with him and also some women, that the women were involved. They were not in his inner core. That wouldn't have been culturally acceptable. But they were right there, and they heard the teachings of Jesus and as he was teaching his disciples, because they were there to support him out of their own means. And so women, like if you hear Pastor Rice's message today, women are included. So but, you know, Jesus was in close proximity. You know, when the brothers started arguing about who were the greatest, it's because Jesus was right there. He kind of heard him. You know, let me explain to you, you know, but being around them, doing life, laughing together, talking together, walking together, praying together, you know, debriefing when they would go out and they'd come back, you know, Jesus had some things to say. And when he'd go out and share in parables to the multitude, he'd come back and explain, this is what this means. And he'd spell it out to them. So he modeled that for us. So, and then also again in the early church, if you look at all the scriptures about where the early church met, they met in homes. And you can see that the scriptures are referenced on that. I'm on that next page now, that start one page. The church that met in their house, they met house to house. There were many praying there. And the church that meets in our home, if you go through all of those, we're talking about a church or gathering of people that met in their home. And Bruce and I have loved when we've had small groups in our home. There's just so many benefits. Besides, you clean your house all the time because people are coming on. I mean, there's just so many benefits. You have food together. It's like, you know, just real practical. But there's just something about being in an environment where you can relax and talk. And I've done meetings at Starbucks, too, or, you know, people do at restaurants. That's okay. It's not the place. It's where you can best kind of make sure that you can really talk and share the Word of God and things. But I do love the times that we've had life groups in our homes. And looking back at the beginning of the church, too, that in Acts chapter 2, it says they devoted themselves. I'm going to ask you to circle a few words on that one. Devoted themselves to the apostles, and then circle the word teaching. And then to the fellowship, circle the word fellowship. And then to the breaking of bread, circling breaking of bread. And to prayer, and circling the word prayer. So the heart attitude was devoting themselves. And I gave a little definition of the word devoted down there. To continue to do something with intense effort in spite of possible difficulty. And, of course, back in the early church, there was persecution against the church. We don't really have that kind of persecute, like, we're not, our lives are not on the line if we meet to talk about the Word of God. But I feel like our biggest challenge is just time, that just making time for something so important, because there's so many things vying for our time in this busy world. But do we take time to step back and look at, okay, I do only have 24 hours in a day, and how are they best spent? And, you know, am I letting my life, because you know how it is when you work and you have kids and this thing and that thing, you can just like, okay, today I got to do this thing and just keep spinning without stepping back and saying, is God's values getting my best time? You know, that's why I like to spend time with God in the morning, because that's my best time. Like, I'm awake, I'm alert, and that's going to happen. If I wait, it might not happen. So, again, with taking time to spend time with God's people, have I made that a priority in my life? Have I found some people to do life with? And so that, it takes time, but it's so worth it. And then that word fellowship, that Greek word is koinonia, and some of the like words to describe it can be fellowship, association, community, communion, joint participation. But we see that there's teaching involved, there's that koinonia, fellowship, there's breaking of bread, and there's prayer. And all those things are, it's important to look at, because that was the model given to us in the Bible. So, you know, maybe that's having somebody over to dinner at your home, or maybe at your life group that you have a potluck, or, you know, some kind of, you know, snacks or anything. But all those things are really important to, and why? Is food in and of itself important? No, it's the sitting, it's the talking, it's the sharing, that when you sit and you're eating, you're not in a rush to leave to go eat, because you're doing that right there, you know. So it's what can help promote, you know, getting past the surface level. And, you know, you can't do that with everybody, but there should be a few people in your life that they really know who you are. They know the things going on in your life, and you know them, and you can be praying together. And, you know, here at Bethel, these are all talking about smaller group settings. We happen to call them life groups. And that Greek word for life is right there, that word zoe, life in the absolute sense, life as God has it, that which the Father has in himself, and which he gave to the incarnate Son to have in himself, and which the Son manifested in the world. So the God kind of life, that's what we want to see. That's the objective we're looking at for. We want God's life to be when we're in a smaller group setting. And what is God like? What is his life like? That he's hospitable, that he's caring, that he is joyful, that his presence is with us. So how can we help create that? And how can we help bring the presence of God into our midst? Because the Bible says wherever two or more are gathered in his name, there I am in the midst of them. So we want to create an environment where God, where Jesus can come and be the center of that. And whether you are in a life group or you're leading a life group, you want to be able to know if you're successful or not. So how can I know if I get a group of people together and we do something for God, how do I know if I'm successful or not? Because I'll tell you that you have an enemy that will tell you every time that you messed up, that you just did a bad job, you're not really good at that, why don't you just quit? Let me tell you, that's the enemy from the pit of hell. Any person that you make an attempt to reach out, you are successful. And if you do make some mistakes along the way, then you are in. Welcome to the club, you know, that, because who's going to ever do anything perfectly? But God sees our heart. And if somebody knows that you care about them enough to take time, that ministers life, you know. You don't have to know all the answers, but just to take time to minister to them is so important. So how do I know if I'm successful? Well, some of the main objectives of a life group are right there, and they all start with the letter C. Connect with God, connect with one another, and connect with the world. What do we mean by that? Connecting with God, that we're connecting around his word, that we're not just having a social club. I mean, those are fun too, but if God isn't in the mix, then it's not really, you know, a life group per se. You know, that might be, if you're in a home, you can turn on some worship music, or if someone can play the guitar, you can spend a little time worship where you feel the presence of God come and you're worshiping, or when you're praying together, when we're praying, maybe we have a time of praying together. Sometimes some of our life groups, we would just sense, you know what, tonight, let's just take time and pray. Let's just worship the Lord. Let's pray. Let's pray for our unsaved friends. Let's pray for any needs that we might have, you know. And those are just special times where you're connecting with God, but then you also are connecting with one another. Sometimes it takes a little bit to feel like, now, can I trust these people? You know, like, especially if you're just all complete strangers. I might not share all what's going on with me the first time I meet you, and that's probably a good thing. But, you know, like, as you feel like you are in a safe place, and that's what we want to provide. So as a life group leader or as their brother and sister of Christ, I'm not going to go around and tell anybody what we talked about. That's, you know, it's very, very important to keep, you know, if someone's trust me enough to share their struggles with me, that is between me and them. And that's bad English, but you know what I'm saying. And that's just not going anywhere. And so when we create that safe place, somebody can have that feeling of, I can get a little bit more vulnerable. And why do we want them to get vulnerable? Just for the sake? No, because when you are able to get that out in the open, and then God is able to come in and heal and restore, and then you become a testimony of the grace of God. That's what we're looking for, not just the act in and of itself. And because most things that people go through, you know, there's that scripture that says it's the struggles that we have. Everybody around the world has them. It's not like, and that's where the enemy too tries to, well, nobody's going through what you're going through. And so when you find out, you're kind of half encouraged when you find out you're not the only one, you know, and then to someone standing with you and praying with you. And even meeting maybe outside of the group. Hey, let's talk about this some more. and then connecting with the world. And that would be, are we reaching out? Are we trying to invite in our unsafe friends or coworkers into this life that we have? And that might mean, like, one of your times together is you don't really do your normal Bible study. You just have a potluck, or you go out and have a bowling night, or, you know, go to a park together. But then you invite your unsafe friends in a game night and just say, yeah, you know, we meet all the time. You're sure welcome to join us. And they see the life of God, because we really do live in a segregated, you know, like I think I've said, you know, you have a million friends on Facebook, but you're lonely. I mean, how can that be? Because we really need human, you know, interaction. And life groups and discipleship. And again, you know, as we've talked so much about discipleship, this is a very easy place where discipleship can happen. You know, when I've been in a small group setting, and then we've prayed for someone, you know, they're going through something. Maybe a young Christian can watch how I pray, or the, you know, or what I would say, and that's a learning experience. And I mean, you know, and of course it's gone my way too, where I've watched people, like, how do they do that? How do they handle that? And you learn from one another. It's a very natural place for discipleship to happen. It is a place where true transformation can take place, because really, remember, discipleship is a follower of Christ. So the more I become like Christ, the more that, you know, discipleship's just happening. And then the four E's that we've talked about here: engaging the lost, establishing believers, equipping the saints for work of ministry, empowering and releasing ministers. It's a very natural pace. When, you know, I would be stirred up in the prophetic gift, let me tell you, it's a lot easier to share a word from God in a, like, maybe there's eight people there than the whole church, where you're like, I think God, you know, I mean, you're nervous enough, but, like, you know, seeing your spiritual gifts developed, and Before I ever heard it in a church service, I heard a tongue and an interpretation in a small group setting. And again, it's just a way safer place and not as intimidating than standing in the whole in front of the whole church. So all those things. And then the last, and this is very, very important, life groups are a place where practical needs can be met, such as hospital visitation, providing meals, household need. You know, if someone's had a knee surgery and they can't clean their house, hey, we'll come on over. And it's fun when you clean somebody else's house and you do it together. It's just way more fun. And actually, you know, if you were just some person off the, you know, some person in Nashville calling Bethel and saying, hey, I have a need. My dad's in the hospital. Can a pastor go visit them? The first question that they'll be asked is, are you in a life group? Because that's the most natural connection. And, of course, our pastors go to the hospital and pray for people. But, again, in a church our size, even in a church of 100, a pastor can't do everything and shouldn't do everything. That's why we're equipped the pastors are equipping the saints for the work of ministry. So, because, again, if a mom has a baby, then their life group would be the primary source of providing meals for a few days and things like that. So, and then what are life groups not? A place for you to use your teaching gift, and don't let anyone else talk. Again, we don't want to replicate Sunday morning at a life group, but we want those one another scriptures to come into place. If I'm a leader, I'm really a facilitator. I don't want to do all the talking. And again, this is a classroom setting, but in a life group, I would not be doing what I'm doing right now. I'd say a little bit, and then I want to hear from all of you because I get so edified in any smaller group that I'm at, hearing people's perspective, maybe a little bit different how they heard that verse, or, you know, so it's always so encouraging. And I write a place to do counseling and long prayer sessions week after week. We have a format that we're going to talk about that sometimes people are in a really, really tough place and they do need counseling, but a life group is not where every week it's praying for an hour over one person because we all want to come together and be mutually edified. But that doesn't mean there's not a place for that, but not in the life group setting. So who's qualified to lead a life group? Someone who's a follower of Christ, who desires to reach others with the gospel, who has a hunger for God's word and prayer, and who is willing to give their time and energy to regularly meeting with others. And someone who's committed to following Christ and desiring to set a godly example through their lifestyle to the people that they'll be serving. And so I've found over the years, too, that maybe you start with one-on-one. Hey, you want to get together and do the purple book? And then God will bring another person in my life and then another. And all of a sudden, there's not enough hours in the day to do one-on-one. So it's like, hey, how about if the four of us meet? You know, and then just life kind of happens out of that. And it's very natural. Or you can be very intentional about, like, I know I'm called to start a life group and then just start calling friends, contacts, co-workers, neighbors, whoever God's putting on your heart. So So in other words, I hope that you're getting out of there. It's not super Christian. It's not Purple Man. You know, if anybody remembers Purple Man from last summer, but although he was awesome, but it's not for super Christian. It's just for anybody that wants to help somebody grow in their faith and feels like, I'm available, God, if you say, okay, I'm going with you, you know. So, because you never feel ready. You never feel ready. So far, any questions or comments on these two pages? I know for some of you, you've already heard this, but good. That's how you should be. I'm glad. It's not a requirement, but it's something that it's just part of how we see people being able to grow in their faith and embracing the value of discipleship, which we hope that every person does grasp and value in their heart. It's like this is just a really natural way to see that, you know, worked out. So. You don't necessarily, it doesn't mean that everybody has to start a life group, but being involved in one, I would highly recommend that in some way, shape, or form. Because some people are involved, like with the men's ministry, and then that's naturally bringing life groups out of it. The worship, they have kind of like a special time of praying for one another. And so it's finding this value in the natural ways that you're connected to the church. So, and even in the helps, I mean, I see the greeters, they'll hold hands and pray before they go out to greet on a Sunday morning. And so finding intentional ways to build community. So that, yeah. And like I was saying last Sunday, you don't always know when that, you know, and of course it wasn't my life, it was the church family. When, you know, we went through that tough time a few weeks ago in Boston, all the Facebooks and the texts, are you okay? I mean, that just made us feel so loved that would have been lonely to go through alone. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, thank God we were all okay, but it was still traumatic. And so to not have anybody to share that with you, that would have, anyway, so that, and you don't know, you can't schedule that moment, but that's why just finding a place to commit and just being faithful day in and day out, God knows when you need it, and then you're, ready, so. And then, okay, so I'll just explain to you kind of how we do life groups here, and that's the next page, components of a successful life groups. And there's a good time limit to have on your, would be maybe between 1 and 1.5 hours, maybe. A lot of people do them every other week. Some people choose to do them weekly, or maybe even once a month, depending on your lifestyle or whatever. And so, but to have all these components are important. Now, some weeks it's not going to be like real rigid, like, you know, okay, timer went off. I mean, you can do that, but to miss any of these kind of misses the whole point. It's kind of like you only eat dessert every meal. I mean, you know, that kind of sounds good, but you wouldn't be very healthy. So the warm-up, word, application, and prayer. And then we actually have a sermon notes from last week that we're going to hopefully get to as we because we can do a life, perfect like size for a little life group. We'll do it. So in other words, if we all come in and we sit down, the first thing I want everybody to do is feel welcome and feel relationally connected. And if this were in my home and, you know, I invited all of you and maybe you brought your next door neighbor, they don't go to church, they're not a Christian, I sure want to make sure they feel welcome, because that's a big step for them to come into a smaller group of people. And I'm telling you, just the world we live in today, what we have is really a blessing to have community, to have people that we can turn to and pray for one another. I mean, this is really, really special. And so for people that are just isolated, that go to a coffee shop and just sit at their laptop, and they go to work every day, and then they go home, and then they just, you know, want something on the weekend, and then they go back to work. It's just such a blessing to have what we have. So what I want to do is, in the warm-up questions, make sure I ask a question that's not, doesn't require Bible knowledge, that doesn't put someone on the spot, like, that would make them feel like they had to be very vulnerable. It's very surfacey, you know, like this one, you know, what's your favorite activity to do on a sunny spring day? If it were right around now, if it were Mother's Day, I could say, what's one thing you like about your mom, or, you know, just something that maybe where people could talk, but they don't feel on the spot, you know. And then as the leader, I'm listening to their response, because I want to try to help them feel connected by referring back to what they said. So, like Trish said earlier, you know, just to pull her, make sure she understands she's an important part of the group. So that should take about 10 or 15 minutes, depending on the size of your group. Maybe not everyone will get a chance, or else you have to tell everybody, now keep it really short, because some people don't like to talk. Some people really like to talk, so you have to, you know, keep it balanced. So, but you then, as a leader, want to watch the clock and make sure that you kind of keep it on track. And then, of course, one of the most important thing is that we focus around the Word of God. And there's a lot of different ways to do that. Like, again, we referenced the Purple Book, where you could just start in that chapter one. Let's just start reading some of the scriptures together. And use it as a springboard. There's one lady that's leading a life group here. I think they started the Purple Book last summer. I don't think they're very far, like, at all, because it's just been a springboard for many, many conversations. But it's okay. You know, I mean, that, you're accomplishing the purpose, but, you know, it might not be finished, like, at a really quick time, but as long as you're able to focus around the Word. And there, I mean, I've been in somewhere, we're going to do the book of Colossians. Maybe people take turns preparing for it, and that's a really fun way to do it. Or I've been, we've done here for the women, you know, video series where we watch someone teach us for a while, and then we talk about it, you know. So there's so many, you know, you might be at a place where you're with a married group and you pick a really good book. I know there's some new, a Sacred Marriage, I think it's called. Like, everybody buys the book and they read it, and then, okay, this time we're going to talk about chapter one or chapter two, and there's just so many ways. And then I'm going to give you one more that Bruce provides every week, discussing the previous week's sermons. And you don't even have to be there. He has it so well laid out that even if you didn't hear it, even though you can go back online and listen to it, they're so well laid out. I did that once for about a year ago for a lady. She's like, I'm going to be out of town. Can you lead my life group? I'm like, what are you doing? And it's a book I'd read years ago, but I was not in any way ready to talk. So I thought, I'll go online and pop the sermon notes out. And, I mean, I did it that afternoon, and we had a wonderful time because it's all laid out for you. So, and there again, remembering that our point there is not for the leader to teach the Word, but it's to facilitate discussion about the Word. That's really important. And then the next part is application. And if you do the Purple Book, I mean, it is laid out like this. It's like, how will I apply this to my life? And it's very, very easy to use. But, you know, you don't want to miss a moment for people to think about, now, that's really good information, but how can I walk it out? And then life groups become also a place of accountability where, you know, if I say, you know, this week I'm just going to really be on time for everything, you know, because God's convicting me. And that's a little really real for me, but punctuality. But then, you know what? I hope somebody would ask me next, how did it go, Carol? Were you on time? And then I would know I'm going to get asked, so maybe it would help me be on time a little better, you know, hopefully. But anyway, because this is where it gets really real, and not that we just acquire more knowledge. But I love knowledge, but if it's not practically fleshed out in my life, then, you know, I'm not truly following Christ the way I want to. And then the last part, and seriously, not least, and sometimes I encourage you to do this part first, because so many times the prayer part gets shoved down to one. Oh, we ran out of time. Let's give up a quick prayer. And we're out. And really, this is where the power is. This is where we cry out to God for the power to do what we just heard, and then we said, I want to apply this. Without the power of prayer, how are these things going to come about? And this is too where, depending again on the size of the group, where you can stay in a circle, but I encourage you not to let everybody go around and tell their prayer requests, because then you spend 15 minutes just hearing them. But if there, you know, there might be a few really pressing things, but then just to help facilitate it, okay, who's going to pray for that one? Who's going to pray for that one? Or maybe pairing off, you know, woman with woman, man with man. Or like maybe a small group of three. It just depends on the dynamic and the size of your group. And that's where I've seen, going back to one of our objectives of connecting with one another, I've seen some really beautiful connections, because that's the point where I am going, please pray for me, I am going through a hard time. And then because, you know, I've taken the time to listen, or they've listened to me, we've prayed together, maybe we've cried together, and I know they're going to be praying for me through the week. That's just such a beautiful thing of connectivity. So are there any questions on the, and again, this is something you have to go back and remind yourself, because this, you know, this is the ideal. It doesn't always work out like perfectly, but if you have this as a grid, at least it keeps you as a leader, like, okay, let's keep, okay, now how are we going to apply this? Or let's make sure we have plenty of time to pray. You know, I love what everybody's saying, but we don't want to cut God short on the prayer time. So that's really good. And then for some of you, I know that are in ENLI and you've taken this class, that you've been encouraged to start a life group. And, you know, it just sounds really perfect on paper, like, wow, okay, sure, I'll do that, and we'll do this. And then you realize when you start, there are sometimes some challenges, so please don't be discouraged if you're trying and, you know, maybe you haven't been able to gather people yet, or it's been not as easy as it looked on paper, but don't quit. The first one there, sometimes you'll get in your group a very talkative person, which is not bad. They're probably the life of the party. But if they talk all the time, they don't give other people a chance to talk. So you just have to really be careful to encourage them, but then to skillfully, like, yeah, so, you know, wait, would you mind? That is so good, but let's hear from a couple other people. Or maybe we could talk about that after the end of the class if it's kind of going off track. So you, just to keep everybody focused on the word. And then there's that time, and this, you know. So what did somebody get out of that verse? And then nothing. just awkward. You just might need to rephrase how you ask the question. So what did discipleship mean to you? And then I would maybe turn to you personally and say, how, you know, why don't you, would you mind answering that? And trying to draw a person out. And maybe you have, you've been going along for a while and it's starting to feel like nobody new's been coming. It's, you know, that might be a good time to have a party, maybe go on an outreach together. I know one of the single ladies' life group, they went down, it's been months, maybe last summer, and they were like going down to, what is it? Not that, although I know people have done that too, but the one downtown, Michael W. Smith's place, where they reach out to the Rocket Town. Yeah, they meet on a Friday night and they're like, listen, you know, we're full of the word. Let's go give our lives away. And so they went down and ministered to the young women that go to that. You know, a lot of times they're coming out of drug addiction and things. And they just went and loved on them and prayed for them. And people gave their lives to the Lord that night. And again, when you feel like, gosh, you know, we've been taking in a lot, let's go out and give our lives away and finding a place to go out and minister. And so we have a lot of opportunities through the church where you can join in. And even if you're in a life group, well, I know Angel, our meals once a month, she likes to ask life groups to come in to the kitchen. And I know Dr. Christy Robinson, she had her medical life group go, and they just loved it. They, you know, just going in and serving, and it's really great. So if you have sporadic attendance, having a start and finish time, you know, we encouraged people this last 6 weeks to consider doing the God's Not Dead series for their life group. So you know, okay, for the next 6 weeks, we're going to go over the sermon series, encourage you to buy the book. That way people know what they're committing to. And then, or you can ask the group, is there anything on anybody's heart you'd like to study? Well, I'd really like this. Okay, yeah, great. And then there's buy-in because you've decided together. So straying from the topic, the leader has to be skilled and pull the topic back. You know, you have to, sometimes it's good to go off on a tangent, but you have to just be aware. Not always is that like, You have to bring it back to, okay, wait a minute. Remember, we're talking about this tonight or whatever. Now, you don't want to be too rigid where, you know, people, you know, you don't want to, you know, it has to be this many 15 minutes exactly. You know, that's no, you know. And sometimes it's the Holy Spirit is wanting to land on something or really does want to pray for one person in a special way that night. And that's okay. You just have to just try to sense the leading of the Holy Spirit. Never ending on time or never having time for application of prayer. People get discouraged and you lose credibility. So I encourage you to have a set time. Listen, our life group goes 1 hour and 15 minutes. I'm not saying we can't stay after to talk, but if you need to leave, I'm going to make sure you know when that is, and you're free to go. Don't feel bad, you know, but you're sure welcome to stay in fellowship, because sometimes people have been in life groups that actually go like 3 hours long, and okay, for the moment, it's fun, but then they think next week, oh, I can't go tonight. I don't have time for that, you know. So you want to make sure you create an environment where you can stay if you want, but you're not going to feel bad if you leave. So, and then the last two are about the leader that, because this definitely can happen, where the leader does everything. They host it. It's at their house. They have to clean their house. Then they make the snacks. Then they call all the people that need to be followed up. They send out the email that, you know, it's all those things. The more people that get involved, then it's my group, not I just attend this group. This is my group, and I do like to tell about the lady that sent out emails for our life group in Seattle, and they were still. And for me, that would have been the hugest chore. I'm not real good about keeping up on my email, but she sent the funny. It made me want to go, and I was like one of the leaders, so like, oh, I want to go to that. Oh yeah, I am going to go to that. Part of one of the leaders that, but just the way she said the emails every week, it was so fun, and we'd usually have a sign-up sheet, you know, for snacks. Who wants to be next week, and maybe childcare or whatever. And then the last one there that you feel like you have to know everything. Gosh, a question might come, and I don't know the answer. Nobody knows fully. I mean, so it's okay to say, I don't know, or, you know, hey, what does the group think about this? That's a really good question. What does the group think about this? And then come back the next week. And then, like I said, how often should a group meet? Weekly or every other week seems to be the best, depending on the group. And if this is all kind of new to you, and you say, how do I get started? If you've never been in a life group, the next great next step is to join one. And then, but joining with learning and serving, and then maybe getting ready to launch your own eventually. And then if you're in one, you feel ready to start one, ask a friend to join you and start the process. And the process there is just praying, writing down some names of people that you want to reach out to, set a time, find 3 to 4 times that are good for you. That's important because, you know, you got to look at your own schedule first and say, what could I commit to? And then ask, hey, which one of these work for you? Tuesday night, Thursday night, or Saturday morning? And then wherever it lands, you know, that might be a good time. And then invite them. And again, these people that God put on your heart, they might be people you see all the time or somebody you might not really know that well. So if you don't even know who they are, probably it's best to have them out to coffee first versus, hey, do you want to come to my life group? And they're like, what's a life group? You know, like, it's just way too big of a leap. So, and get to know them a little bit first. And then remind them and follow up. It takes a while to form a new habit. It's really burning in your mind because you're leading it. But for another person, they're, oh, yeah, I forgot. Believe me, that's most the reason why people don't show, I think, is they just forget because it's not on their radar. It takes a while. You know, after you meet for 6 weeks, then you're in. But it just takes a while to form a new habit, especially for someone that doesn't know the Lord. So any questions? This is like a real quick overview. And again, you're sure welcome to come to the Start One class to get, I have a little bit more like practical things there that could help you, you know, find the time for yourself or any questions that you might have. But the last thing I wanted to do was maybe we can just kind of get in a little circle and spend the last 10 minutes going through Bruce's life group notes from last Sunday. So that's this one right here. And If you go online to the Bethel website and you click on Connect, this is how I've done it, and then you click on Life Groups, then you can just go to Life Group Leader Resources. Click on there, all these, and you can hear the audio, plus print these out. And it's so easy, and because like I said, if I can do it, I'm telling you, you can do it. So, so let's get in a little circle. Life Group. And then in that life group, it should say Life Group Leader Resources. I think there's other ways to navigate, but that's how I've done it. So, and it worked.